Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Well, say it ain't so, Joe, or in this case, Mike. Mike Hamilton, longtime fixture on harness racing in various capacities, most visibly as an analyst for Woodbine Entertainment, will be hanging up the headset in about a month's time. Mike, welcome to Trot Radio.
Hi, Norm. Good to be here.
You know, you look too young to retire. Is this for real? You're really retiring?
I think probably the simple answer is no, I'm not retiring. I don't probably think I'll ever retire. I don't see myself as the kind of guy that will sit around and do nothing, but definitely making a change.
Now, is this a change that involves harness racing? Are you getting right out of the game, or what's happening?
Well, ever since I was in high school, I've said that either next year or the next year or the next year, it was always a couple years off, I've said I want to travel. And take some time to actually do long, slow, sort of around-the-world trip. And when I was 19, I put it off till I was 20. And when I was 20, I put it off till I was 25. And then you know what, you're 52 and you haven't done it yet. So
someday syndrome, you wanted to avoid that, I can understand.
Yeah, I think when you're 62 or 72, backpacking in hostels won't seem that appealing. So,
well, you're at a good age to do that. When is your last day?
I will work the week after the North America Cup, so it's Saturday, June 21st.
Okay. And going back to a previous question, of course you are going to travel, but are you going to keep a hand in racing or a foot in racing, as it were?
While I'm traveling, probably not. No. That's part of it, is to just get away and do something totally different, and then figure out what else I want to do in life after done traveling.
Any ideas in general that you think you'd like to do once you get back to the workaday world?
I don't, to be honest with you, no. I own some software that we've used in the horse racing industry for years, producing race programs, and if I could figure out a business model that worked with that, I would get back into the program aspect of the industry. But at this point, I say, no, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, that's what the traveling is for. You're going to be traveling around the world. What are some of the must-see places you're going to go to?
Well, I didn't want to actually nail down an agenda very strictly until I applied for a visa for Brazil, which I hope to be in October. And their consulate was maybe not the easiest to deal with. They basically wanted to see my plans right from Toronto until Brazil, or I wasn't getting a visa. And so I had to sort of nail things down for the first 6 months. But
hey, well, listen, I'm going to be in Malta next month. I'm going to be at the track there. You want to join me? We'll take in a few races.
I certainly see my fair share of races, and I would imagine I'll visit a few racetracks around the world, but it's not sort of a world tour of racetracks.
I didn't think so. What aspect of the game are you going to miss the most?
I would say the people. It's something that if you've done it every day since you were literally a teenager, I've worked in horse racing full-time since I was 19 and part-time since I was 17, I don't know if you ever know what you'll miss until you're actually gone. So right now I would say the people that I meet, work with, and customers at the racetrack that I deal with every day.
It's a unique culture, isn't it? I think you find people in our game that you just don't see anywhere else. And sometimes, you know, they defy the image that they put out, because they can be some of the most giving and welcoming people around.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you want to cast a movie with some characters, just come to the second floor at Woodbine any night of the year. So there's every walk of life. And that's one of the really fascinating things about racing, is you've got from the little old lady or the little old man that comes in and bets a few bucks, to families, to multimillionaire owners, and everything in between that are there for various reasons. Some are for the love of the horse, some are for the sport, some are for the gambling aspect, and everything in between. So there's a real range of people, and from my desk on the second floor every night at Woodbine, I get to be right in the middle of it, and that's can be frustrating at times, but for the most part, it's a lot of fun.
Listen, I've heard a rumor, because you're a Leaf fan, I'm a Leaf fan. Are you really leaving because the Leafs have stunk so many years in a row? And not only that, but you know, you got Ford as a mayor. Is that really it?
Not the Leafs. That's not the issue. I've never known anything but futility because I don't even remember 1967.
Sadly, I do.
And the mayor, no. I was saying to some friends the other day that they said, well, you're going to miss the election. And I said, well, I know I'm going to be in Santiago, Chile on October 27, which is the Toronto election date. And any other year, you'd probably find no coverage of it. But now I'm pretty sure any bar I walk into, it'll be on CNN.
Yeah, that's true. And if you tell them you're Canadian, they're going to say, yeah, what street? And do you know Rob Ford?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I want to turn to something serious for a moment, because obviously you've seen it. We've all seen the upheaval in our industry, and we've all given our reasons as to why we think it is. But if you had the power to make one change to harness racing right now, what would it be? And would that change be enough for you to stick around a few more years?
I'll answer the second question first. Okay. Is I don't think any change that I could make would change my mind, because I'm not really running away from anything, or you know, I don't look at it as leaving something behind for a particular reason, other than that I've wanted to do long-term travel for a long time, and it's not going to happen if I don't do it now.
Okay.
But back to your first question, I think probably one of the underwriting issues in the industry that doesn't get acknowledged that often is it's just the disconnect between customer that actually drives the handle, which produces the industry, and the people that produce the product on the track.
Boy, you said it.
And then maybe even add in another layer there, management of regulatory as well as racetracks, big and small.
Yeah.
There's a disconnect among them all, but bottom line is the guy that bets $500 a day at our track is the one that pays my salary.
Right.
And not enough is understood about that guy.
That's true. That's true. And it's not a knock on WEG. I think it's a cultural issue within our industry.
Absolutely.
Part of it, I think, is the fact that, okay, if you look at hockey, everybody practically in Canada has played hockey. Everybody's picked up a ball and a bat. You can understand it. With us moving away, as we did, from an agrarian society, fewer people know what it's like to sit behind a horse, and I think that's where the disconnect began.
Yeah, the sit behind the horse aspect of it is part of it, but and I really don't want to downplay the role of people that put on the show, but they have to understand that the guy that bets $500 is the customer.
Yep.
At some level, there are tracks where your customer is a guy that just comes out for a beer in the grandstand, or brings the kids out to look at the horses. That's that's maybe another issue with the industry. We all do the same thing. We run horses around a racetrack, but we generate revenue in various different ways, and there's vast differences between a Meadowlands, a WEG, a Hong Kong Jockey Club, and Clinton Raceway.
Well, these are questions to be decided by others, and in the near future, hopefully not soon enough for our liking. I want to play a little bit of rapid-fire questions with you here, Mike, before we wrap it up. All right, if there's anything you want to pass on, you just say, look, drive on. All right, favorite track you've worked at?
I'll say Sandown Racetrack on Sandown Raceway in Vancouver Island.
Wow.
It's a track I was at for 2 summers. They were really good times in my life. The fact that I only had to work 2 days a week maybe influenced me a little bit.
Okay. Role in racing you wish you had or had longer?
That one is a tough one. I have called a few races, and it's pretty bad.
It's a tough gig, I'm telling you.
But I wish I was a better announcer because I enjoy that. But I'm humble enough to admit that's not going to happen.
All-time favorite harness race?
If you mean like an actual event?
Yeah, the actual race itself. I mean, you know, it could be a multi-heat event or whatever.
Well, if you're talking event, I would say pretty close tie between Little Brown Jug and the Gold Cup and Saucer.
Best race itself that you've ever seen in terms of a race?
Some Beach Somewhere's loss in the 2008 Meadowlands Paced Artificial. That was a race that I think a lot of Canadians watched with great interest, but then just the way the race unfolded, and even though the Beach lost it, it was arguably the best race he's ever raced, and maybe the best race any horse has ever raced and lost.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. That is incredible.
Beat a neck in 47 with just a grueling trip. So
the fact that he was even at the wire. when it was over.
Yeah.
Who's the person you'll miss working with the most? You can pass on this one if there's too many, but.
Well, I work with a whole team of people at Woodbine that are behind the scenes that you never get to see. So while Ken Middleton and Greg Gangle, people in front of the camera that I'll obviously miss, there's hundreds of people that work at Woodbine that I'm all going to miss them all.
You're a photographer. What's a favorite photograph you've taken?
Don't have one. Never happy with my photos. favorite photo that is one I haven't taken yet, I guess.
Quick two ones here to wrap it up. Will Rob Ford be elected in 2014 when you're sipping on a cerveza in Brazil?
No shot. And the handicapper in me wants to explain that. He can't grow any whatsoever in his base. He has a base, but even the base will start to erode when it gets closer to election time. And to his base, the archenemy is Olivia Chow, and when they see that it looks like she's going to win, some of them will defect to John Tory, and John Tory will win in the final stretch.
Well, it's about time he got elected to something.
It'll be Olivia Chow, but it will not be Rob.
That's another story for another day. And finally, from one Leaf fan to another, when will the Leafs win the next Stanley Cup, and what year?
I hope it's not in the next 2 years while I'm away.
That would figure.
I think I'm pretty safe on that.
Yeah, okay. So sometime in the future, just not in the next 2 years. Hey, Mike, it's a real pleasure. And all kidding aside, guys like you, and you in particular, have been big influences on the work that I do, because you've taught guys like me to look more deeply at a race and how it might unfold, and I want to thank you for that. And I'm sure the entire industry and the entire fan base of people who want Chill Weg every night want to express their appreciation. Have a great not retirement, retirement. How's that?
All right. Well, those are very nice sentiments, and I appreciate that one.